for reading those verses this morning. So what I'd like to do this morning is continue. It's I think last November and then earlier this year, I've been working on a three-part series in the book of Daniel. The first one that I dealt with was Daniel and his friends when they were first brought to this new country, brought to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. And there, we know the story. These were really young men at the time, and they were brought into Babylon, and they tried to change their way of thinking, try to change their worldview with the heathen worship that they did here. So they had 3 years of indoctrination in the heathen lifestyle and worship. And we know the story there where they refused to eat the delicacies that the king wanted them to have. And as we read, they did it in a respectful way, but still not an easy thing to tell the king, no, we don't want to eat your food. But anyway, it wasn't just about not eating their food. There were great reasons why they did it. They stood up for what they believed, and through that too, great things, like they were able to be great witnesses to the people there. For one, they looked in better physical shape than the other guys who had been eating the rich foods. Yeah, in their case, it would have been so easy just to fit in, you know, just blend in, like what's the big deal about eating that food? But Nebuchadnezzar's goal was to change their identity. I mean, he even changed their names and their way of thinking. He basically wanted to change their whole worldview on how they viewed everything about life and their God. And then the next message I had was on Daniel 3, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you all know the story, of where they were cast into the fiery furnace, and how they stood up and refused to worship the gold image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, not knowing what would happen to them. They knew that their God was capable of saving them from it, but they weren't sure what he would do. But that didn't make a difference in the decision that they made to keep honoring their God and not bending. So anyway, and today I want to take a look at Daniel 6, but I was kind of jumping over some stuff here. But anyway, the passage that Kevin read in out of Hebrews chapter 11, I think you read verse 32 and then chapter 12, verse 2. Kind of what I meant was all the verses in between as well. It's okay. But anyway, I'll just read those here, because actually it's in the in-between where I wanted to kind of highlight some stuff. So so chapter 11, and I'll start at verse, actually, I'll read verses 33 and 34. We know that Hebrews chapter 11, I find it a very, very encouraging chapter, kind of called the Hall of Faith, the heroes of the faith. Different Old Testament characters are mentioned there, and just basically how they stood up for what they believed, even though they necessarily didn't see the fruits of them standing up for what they believed. But they were faithful. So verses 33 and 34, it says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." And that's referring to Daniel there. "And then quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." And then chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience, or with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So verse 1 there, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and this is going back referring to the a lot of the people mentioned in chapter 11. And, you know, when it, the first couple of verses of chapter 11, it kind of defines what the word faith means. But it's not as much a definition of faith, but a description of what faith does, what faith, real faith looks like. So, if you have your Bibles here, which I see many of you do, can turn to Daniel chapter 6. That's where we're going to be this morning. So, the book of Daniel identifies the prophet Daniel as the author in chapter 9, verse 2, and 10, verse 2. And Jesus also mentions Daniel as the author in chapter 20, Matthew 24. Daniel was written to encourage the exiled Jews by revealing God's sovereign program for Israel during and after the period of Gentile domination. So, Daniel is not a very long book, but there's quite a few years in between, even from one chapter to the next. And sometimes I think I know for myself, fail to appreciate all the things, like just the few little pieces that we have written there. There's a lot written in Daniel, but there's also a lot of years in between. So when Daniel and his friends first came to Babylon, they were in their teens. And in chapter 6, as I've read, that Daniel was probably more in his 80s by that time. So a lot of years have passed. So he was not a young guy anymore. He was a little bit more life experience by that time. So even though the events of chapter 6 are not dated, it's safe to assume that they took place in the first year of Darius the Mede, as he was organizing the administration of the province of Babylonia. So sometimes it's kind of a little bit confusing. I know for myself, and you know, you read through the book and you read about all these different kings that were there during that time. So and sometimes we think, you know, in chapter 1, chapter 3, we read about Nebuchadnezzar and we think that he was there all the time, but there was actually different kings, different leaders. And in Daniel chapter 1, we read of Cyrus the Persian. Chapter 2, we read of Nebuchadnezzar. And chapter 5, of Belshazzar. And then in chapter 6, where we're going to be in today, Darius the Mede. So Daniel was brought in as a captive. But through the years, Daniel, just the way he lived his life, the way he stood up, he was found to be a very faithful guy and a very, very reliable man. And we also read that he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and he became a very influential advisor and administrator in his kingdom. So he has been, as we start off with chapter 6, Daniel has been promoted to a very high position within that government. So, some things that we want to learn, there's five points that I want to kind of focus on this morning as we go through it. But just one thing that really I was thinking of as going through this is that our ability to be positive has more to do with our life choices than our life circumstances. And we will see that very clearly as we go through this story of Daniel. First of all, Daniel chose character over comfort, to do the most with the situation he was handed rather than complain about the ones that he wasn't. So I'd like to read Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. And I'll be reading out of the NLT version, so it might be a little bit different the story flows a little bit better like this. So anyway, Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Wow. That's a very a position of great responsibility. And that wasn't, I'm sure that wasn't taken lightly, the reasons that Daniel was chosen for this position. You know, was it Daniel's choice to be there? Oh, I want to be the king of this country. No, it wasn't his choice that he was there. He wouldn't naturally have been there had it not been for the sins and bad choices that his fathers had made and that caused the captivity in the first place. You know, when you think of Daniel, we could think of others, but when we think of Daniel, you know, he could have very easily said, wow, why me? Like, why am I being handed these things? Like, this, it's not fair. And he could have very easily just felt justified to be bitter about it, to pout, and to have a negative attitude about it. But, you know, what would have happened to his heart? Would he have been usable to God had he decided to go that direction? I don't think so. So, and then I think we need to ask ourselves that same question, like, when I am in situations like this, when do I, you know, we all have been or are in situations sometimes where we feel like, why is this happening to me? Why am I in this situation? We can choose the same thing. We can choose to feel sorry for ourselves or to feel that kind of that the world is against us and pout about it, or we can choose to trust God and take advantage of this, of the situations that God has given us to be a witness. You know, Daniel distinguished himself in a bad place surrounded by some bad people. Even though he was put in that very high position, the people that were kind of in similar positions didn't really appreciate Daniel a whole lot. When he faced challenges, it really tested of what was inside of him and what his walk with God and life truly was. And you know, I think that's very much the same for each one of us. When we're faced with challenges, whatever it may be, I mean, there's many. We could all name some. How do we respond? It really shows, like it did in Daniel, I believe, what is inside of us. How strong is our faith? Are we trusting God? Number two here, Daniel chose discipline over disorder. He did what he should have done and refused to do what he shouldn't do. This is hard. discipline over disorder. Sometimes going with the flow is the easy thing to do, but usually not the right thing. So I'd like to read verses 4-9 of Daniel 6. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. You know, I don't think that King Darius really realized exactly what these guys were after, because he liked Daniel. he sounds like he might have been a little bit full of himself yet too, so he was ready to sign it. You know, just as I was going over this, verse 4, the last, or kind of in the middle of verse 4, when they were kind of delving into seeing what dirt they could find on Daniel, because they had a really hard time finding something negative about him. And in verse 4 it says, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn him. So they were kind of at wit's end, like, what do we do? We have to find something on him. I was thinking too, when people would do research or try to find out things about my life, what would they find? Would they have a hard time finding something that would disqualify me? Word of the new decree quickly reached the ears of Daniel, and I'm sure he knew that he had to make a decision and quick what he was going to do. You know, unlike the position of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3, they were faced with disobeying God by sinning, by worshiping a different, statue or a man-made God. Daniel's situation was slightly different. It wasn't that he was told to worship something else, but that he couldn't worship. Well, I guess in a sense he was supposed to not worship anything but Darius or their religion. But he remained faithful. He knew the consequences, but he had also learned over the years to be faithful and make hard choices. And so his decision was pretty clear. I don't think he really had to think about it for a long time, but he continued what he was doing, praying the way he had. He didn't care if other people saw how he was praying. I think one important thing to note as well is this didn't happen right here on the spot that he decided, oh yeah, I'm going to stand firm. Just like in our own lives, we often, I know, speaking for myself, often when tough times have come or just hard decisions need to be made, sometimes we fall. Sometimes we don't make the right decisions. God forgives us. It's something as we grow, as we mature as a believer, we become stronger. Daniel had lived this life for a lot of years already. He was rooted deeply in God's truth. One of the things that Daniel also needed to think of, and he did, as he faced the simple test of the day-to-day living, is that somebody's always watching. And that is so true in each one of our lives, at our workplace, in school, wherever we are, somebody is always watching us. I mean, God always sees us, but there's other people always watching us. So sometimes when we think, okay, it doesn't matter, it does matter. People are watching us. We are his ambassadors, right? Okay, so thirdly, Daniel chose love over life. He continued to follow hard after God and continued the prayers he normally made. So the decision he made to continue praying the way he had wasn't just like he was told, don't do it, like you'll get a slap on the hand if you're going to do it. No, this meant your life will be taken from you. It was really serious. So let's read verses 10 through 13. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied. That decision stands. It's an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, Your Majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. And the king knew this. But by this time, I believe he probably knew he had been tricked by his own people whom he had trusted. So let's just take a moment here and look at Daniel's response to all of this and his exemplary conduct. First, did he retaliate? No. Daniel did not retaliate against them with vengeance, like, I'm going to get back at you guys. And second, he did not rationalize the situation or to attempt to compromise his godly responsibility. Daniel stood firm, and he... You ever have, if somebody hurts you or does something really nasty to you, does it ever kind of come natural that you want to, I need to get back at him a little bit? Maybe you don't think about it, but that's kind of how we are sometimes, right? But Daniel knew that that was not the right way to respond. So he responded in a way that God wanted him to respond. His love for God drove him to continue praying. It wasn't an option for him. It was his life connection to God. And that's what it should be for us. Our walk, our faith should be exactly that. You know, believers who look at prayer and worshiping God as duty, I think they are missing a really big part and aren't probably looking at God in awe, nor desire him out of love. Kind of the passage that Sam was sharing with an ABF this morning about the greatest commandment, where we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. Loving God is the first commandment. That is what he wants us to do. And that's how he wants us to approach him. That's how he wants us to worship him out of love for him, not because it's a sense of duty. Daniel knew what continuing prayer would cost him, but prayer wasn't a religious activity. It was meeting the God that he loved and lived for. Fourth, Daniel chose to choose God over panic. He knew his life was always preserved by God until the Lord was finished with him. You know, Daniel could have easily panicked, like, oh boy. It should have, physically speaking, should have been a real easy decision, right? I really don't want to get that close to the lions, right? None of us do, except if there is a big, heavy cage or fence between us. But other than that, I don't want to get close to him. And I'm sure he probably didn't look forward to that, but he didn't panic. And I think that's something in our world today that we really, really are seeing. A lot of people are panicking for all kinds of things going on. I won't mention details about it, but I think we all know. Many people who don't know the Lord are in fear because of just turmoil that's going on in our world. And some Christians are also living in fear because they're not trusting God. Okay, I'd like to read verses 16 through 23. So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, "May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles, so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. So the king didn't seem to be having a really good night here, but the other guys that had plotted this evil plan to try and get rid of Daniel, I'm thinking they were probably feeling pretty good. Yes, we're accomplishing exactly what we wanted to accomplish, and the king cannot revoke what he has signed and sealed. Verse 19, very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" I find it kind of interesting how he went there and even called, like, what are the chances of somebody being rescued from a bunch of hungry lions? Like, Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight and have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted his God. I find it interesting, too, how it's recorded here that not a scratch was found on him. And back in Daniel chapter 3 with the three guys who were thrown into the fiery furnace, it says not a hair of their head was singed. You know, it's so clear that it had no effect. God was there to protect them. In verse 23, it makes clear the reason behind Daniel's choice, because it says, for he had trusted his God. It wasn't that he was compelled to do it, or he did it because of duty. This is what my God wants me to do, so this is what I'll do. Well, that might be part of it, but it was his love for God and knowing that he was secure in him, even if it meant losing his life. I don't think in many ways Daniel was much different than we are, or I should say maybe that we are not that much different. Trusting a God we cannot see is not easy sometimes, especially when we're facing pain, like we're being judged or misunderstood, mistreated, facing persecution. It's challenging. But at the same time, as the example that Daniel has given us, if we are faithful, it means the ability to be courageous with trust in the hands of a God who is limitless in power. Daniel gave his life into God's hands because he knew God could rescue him if he wanted to, but that there was something much, much bigger at stake here. Fifthly, Daniel chose rest over revenge. He did not celebrate nor encourage any harm against those who trapped him. So I'll read verses 24 to the end of the chapter here. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then the king sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world: peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What a result. You think Daniel knew what the result would be? I don't think so. Just like in our lives, God wants us to be faithful in whatever circumstance we're in. Just be faithful. He made a choice to focus on God, not his adversaries or the people that were against him. And he knew the truth that resting in the Lord will build us up inside. Trusting God, just releasing our anxieties and our worries to him, just helps us rest in him. Daniel didn't know what the outcome would be physically, but he knew that God would be with him and put his trust in God, and he rested in his goodness. He knew that where God led him, God would stand with him, and that gave him rest. Yeah, I read a little story here, and I'd just like to share it with you. It's really short. It's kind of goes along with that last line there about that where God led him, he would always stand with him. It's about a grandfather was out walking with his grandson one day. "How far do you think we are from home?" he asked the grandson. The boy said, "Grandpa, I don't know." The grandfather asked, "Well, where are you?" Again, the boy said, "I don't know." Then the grandfather chuckled and said, "Sounds to me as if you are lost." The young boy looked up at his grandfather and said, "I can't be lost. I'm with you." You know, that's, I thought, a real good story, a picture of when we're trusting God, we are never alone. We're never lost. We might not know exactly what's ahead of us, but God knows. And if we're trusting him, it's okay. So I'd just like to read a few verses here about how God is always with us. First, in John 14:16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Matthew 28:20, the last part of the verse, very familiar, the great commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. "And lo, I am all with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So, in conclusion here this morning, just to kind of summarize the different points here, Daniel chose character over comfort to do the most with the situations he was handed, rather than complain about the ones he wasn't. We never complain, right? Maybe just occasionally, right? But it's a very good point to think about. He chose character over comfort. He chose discipline over disorder. He did what he should have done and refused to do what he shouldn't do. He chose love over life. He continued to follow hard after God and continue the prayers he normally made. It didn't change his mind even when he was threatened. He was faithful to God. He chose to trust God over panic. He knew his life was always preserved by God until the Lord was finished with him. I think that's one thing that really caught my attention too, that God is going to keep us. He's going to protect us, and he's going to let us live as long as he wants, as is his plan, until he's finished with us. And he chose rest over revenge. He did not celebrate nor encourage any harm against those who trapped him. He made right choices. He focused on the truth of God's promises, regardless of the circumstances. He wasn't swayed by the news of the day. So it didn't, like, if he heard something new, it wasn't like, whoo, now we go to jump on this bandwagon or that one. He was solid. He stood, he kept his eyes focused on God and the truth of his word. Again, what I mentioned before at the beginning was that our ability to be positive has more to do with our life choices than our circumstances. We can all feel overwhelmed with different circumstances probably every day if we let our minds go, but we can't stay there. We got to trust God with those things. A great lesson we learn from the story of Daniel is that as Christians, we will never, ever be able to bring the world to Christ by becoming like it. We have to I'm not saying we have to be crazy radical, but we need to stand up for what we believe and take the opportunities that God gives us. And despite facing extremely difficult circumstances, not knowing the results, he trusted God and focused on him instead of himself. That's kind of what Hebrews 11 and the first part of Hebrews 12 talks about, how they were faithful in their actions towards God, even not knowing exactly what would happen. And many of them lost their lives for God. He refused to compromise and take the easy road. His acknowledgement of God over this powerful king resulted in God's supreme power being revealed to unbelievers. So that proclamation that the king made after Daniel came, walked out of the lion's den, I'm sure Daniel had no idea what was going to happen. But God used this opportunity, his faithfulness for that. And I just want to encourage everybody here too that never ever underestimate what God can and wants to do through your life. Just be faithful. And in this story here, we don't read that Daniel really struggled. We don't read about his struggles here. But I'm sure Daniel had struggles in life too. He was a human being like we are. But a great example of how he trusted God when at the most difficult time in his life. So I'd like to close off with reading the verses out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it's as he's talking about a race here, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And Daniel knew it had been many, many years that he was in that race already. And that's how we need to approach it as well. Just trust God every day and just look to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again at the close of our service this morning. We just want to thank you. Thank you that you've given us your word, the truth, that we can get to know you. We get to know your heart and how you want us to live, and that we are secure in you. Thank you for the example of Daniel that we've looked at this morning. And I pray, Lord, that we will just be encouraged by it, be challenged. And I just pray that we will just, with joy, walk with you and trust you. Just ask you to be with us as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.